Imagine being certain you're about to die in a plane crash and somehow surviving. This is what happened to a Canadian soldier during World War II. Stay tuned to hear this amazing story. Before we continue, we would like to express our sincere gratitude to our protected children of Padre Pio. Your faithful support makes it possible for this apostolate to continue reaching souls day after day, offering consolation, strengthening faith, and keeping the spiritual legacy of Padre Pio alive for those who may be searching in silence. This work depends on a small community of committed supporters who help sustain it over time through prayer and steady generosity. If you are not yet part of this spiritual family and feel called to help uphold this mission, we invite you to join the Protected Children of Padre Pio. As a member, you're spiritually remembered through holy masses offered for your intentions and welcomed into a prayer community under Padre Pio's protection. You'll find a link in the description below. Now let's move on to our story. Today's fascinating story is sourced from the book Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry, True Stories of Padre Pio, Book 2 by Diane Allen. It is an account of wartime peril, divine protection, and a message that arrived before it was ever spoken. Listen to this. Canadian-born Desmond Montague served with the Allied forces during the Second World War. He was assigned to Royal Air Force Squadron 142, a unit responsible for long-range bombing missions. Along with the rest of his squadron, Desmond was stationed in Foggia, Italy, where the men lived in tents on a military base. One day, Edward, the pilot of the aircraft Desmond was assigned to, asked him if he knew the meaning of the word stigmata. Desmond did. He was a devout Catholic who carried a rosary in his pocket and lived his faith seriously. In fact, his own brother was a Catholic priest. Edward then mentioned that he had heard of a priest living nearby in San Giovanni Rotondo who bore the stigmata. Desmond was intrigued, but skeptical. He found the story hard to believe. The following day, Desmond and his close friend Lyle, a fellow Air Force officer, decided to see for themselves. They set out on foot from the airfield to San Giovanni Rotondo, a journey of nearly 40 kilometers or 25 miles. Because of the heavy wartime bombing around Foggia, there were no proper roads left. They walked over hills and embankments, crossing dry and desolate terrain. When they finally arrived, to their surprise, the first person they met was an American woman named Mary Pyle. She confirmed what Edward had told them. The priest's name was Padre Pio, and yes, he bore the wounds of Christ. She then asked, "Would you like to meet him?" The two officers gladly accepted. Mary led them to the church and gave them very specific instructions. Visits with Padre Pio, she explained, had to be conducted with dignity and respect. She brought them upstairs to the choir loft and directed them to kneel in a pew. It was in that very loft that Padre Pio had received the stigmata on September 20th, 1918. "Padre Pio will soon enter and kneel in the pew behind you," Mary said. "When he does, do not turn around and stare at him. He does not like to feel on display." Soon, they heard him enter. Just as Mary said, Padre Pio knelt behind them. They could hear his quiet voice and the soft sound of the rosary beads as he prayed. After a while, he gently touched them on the shoulder and they stood to greet him. Padre Pio was warm and welcoming. He had magnificent dark eyes and a beautiful smile. Though trying to be discreet, the two men could not help but glance at Padre Pio's hands. They noticed that he wore brown woolen half-gloves, which covered the wounds completely. Padre Pio gave each of them a small crucifix, blessed them, and before saying goodbye, affectionately patted them on the head like a father patting his sons. They understood that he would watch over them. A short time later, they returned to San Giovanni Rotondo and attended Padre Pio's Mass. Though they didn't speak with him that day, they brought jam, sugar, and tea for Mary Pyle and the friars, knowing how scarce such items were during the wartime. The next morning, Lyle awoke feeling ill. He was diagnosed with malaria and hospitalized immediately. That very evening, Desmond's crew was scheduled for a bombing mission to Budapest, specifically the railway yards. Lyle, who was their bombardier, had to be replaced. The crew departed on April 16, 1944. It was considered a routine mission. Using celestial navigation, they successfully bombed their target and set course back to Foggia. The night sky was clear, the stars were shining like jewels. Suddenly, their aircraft was fired upon. Within seconds, the plane spun violently out of control. Over the intercom came the command, "Emergency, all jump." Desmond tried to attach his parachute, but the simple task proved to be impossible. The sudden change in altitude and the strong gravitational forces prevented Desmond from moving his arms. He was pressed against the wall of the plane. Certain he was about to die, he whispered a short prayer, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, help me." Then he lost consciousness. When he awoke, he was stunned to find himself on the ground, wrapped in his parachute. He had no explanation. He knew with certainty that he had not been able to clip it on. He had a deep cut on his leg and his face, and several teeth had been broken off. Other than that, he was in remarkably good condition. Every other member of the crew had died in the crash. Desmond quickly buried his parachute, not wanting the Germans to suspect that anyone had survived the crash. He then made his way towards an isolated farmhouse he could see in the distance and knocked on the door. The farmer and his wife who answered were very kind to him. The woman cleaned the wound on his leg and face while the man handed him a glass of some liquid. Grateful, Desmond drank it, only to feel a fierce burning in his throat and stomach. It was straight vodka. Though kind, they were clearly afraid. Helping an Allied soldier in German-occupied territory could cost them their lives. Desmond hoped the farmer would help him escape by directing him to the partisans resisting the German occupation. The farmer left Desmond in his wife's care and stepped outside. Soon after, the farmer returned, not with partisans, but with German soldiers. Desmond was arrested on the spot and would spend the next 13 months in prison of war camps across different parts of Germany. As the war ended, his camp was liberated by General Montgomery's troops. Desmond returned home to New Brunswick, Canada. When his mother saw him, she said with confidence, "Desmond, it was the priest in Italy who saved your life." After his first trip to San Giovanni Rotondo, Desmond had written to his parents describing in detail his visit. He also sent them a photograph of Padre Pio. As you can imagine, his reunion with his family was joyful. He felt strong, both physically and mentally, and deeply grateful to be alive. Desmond later reunited with Lyle, who had fully recovered. Lyle went on to complete 60 bombing missions, an extraordinary survival given the mortality rate. Holding the crucifix Padre Pio had given him, Lyle said, "Desmond, it is because of Padre Pio that we are both alive." Years later, in 1963, Desmond's brother, Father Robert, whom I've mentioned earlier, finally traveled to San Giovanni Rotondo to thank Padre Pio for saving his brother's life. Concerned about the language barrier, he arranged for a translator. But before a single word could be spoken, Padre Pio said, "Tell the young priest from Canada that I know he has come to thank me for my intercession in saving his brother during the war." And with that, our story concludes. Thank you for watching. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.